Good afternoon. I was just wanting to make sure, before we start today, I probably should have gotten up here and announced this earlier. There are no restrooms in this building. I don't know why in the 70s when they built buildings, they decided not to put indoor plumbing and restrooms in them. Our restrooms are easy to find if you need to use it anytime during the memorial service today. Right out those two doors, back to your left, behind your shoulder there. Walk through those two, another set of double doors, and then there's a breezeway out there, and you'll see the women's restroom and then the men's restroom on your left side. Drinking fountains across, okay? Feel free to leave and step out anytime you need to. My name is Tim Arrington. I serve as a pastor here at Christ Community Church, and it is good to be here with you today as we come together to honor the life and remember, really, our dear sister, Armida Anna Quiner. I never got used to calling her Armida. I didn't know that was her real name until, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. It was always Anna Quiner to me. But I do indeed consider this a great privilege to participate with you at this very special time. You know, for many of us, memorials and funerals, if you want to call them that, they can be difficult times, and that's understandable. They often bring a sense of finality that can be overwhelming. But I want to remind you today of two very important things as we get started. First of all, our God is here. He is in our presence today. And I want us to remember that. And he's here to offer both comfort and peace in what can be a very deep time of sorrow. So knowing that God is here, I encourage you to lean on him, draw upon his everlasting strength, and I pray that in the weeks and months to come, as we surely will grieve, that you will use this time to offer comfort to one another as family and friends in love. So that's the first thing. But secondly, I want to remind you that as difficult as days like these are, as believers in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, as believers, we have a great promise that we can hold on to today, a great promise. We have the promise of the hope of eternal life in heaven with the Lord Jesus. And because of that fact, we can take comfort in that promise and rejoice together today because Anna is experiencing that promise fulfilled today. She is, at this very moment, in the presence of her Lord and Savior. And for that reason, we can celebrate. And I do hope the intention today is to be a celebration of her life. Would you pray with me as we join our time together? Father in heaven, we do just want to pause and give you great thanks for this beautiful day and thank you for this gathering. I'm sure Anna would be pleased and probably embarrassed as well by the number of people who've shown up to honor her and celebrate her life. And as we just spoke of, Lord, we are so grateful that you are here in our midst to guide and to comfort, to just pour over us with the love and the peace that we so desperately need when we lose a loved one. And Anna was a dear loved one. And we thank you, Lord, for her life. We thank you for her sweet legacy. So many memories I personally have of time spent with her earlier as traveling together and to several great places in this beautiful land that you have given us. Lord, I just thank you for her life. I remember her and Quint so fondly. And Lord, as we gather, again, our goal today is to remember her, but most importantly, Lord, to glorify you because of your great promise to us. Father, would you bless us? Would you bless this family as they certainly are missing a dear, sweet loved one? And as we gather today, may our hearts be filled with the joy of knowing where Anna is. Thank you, Father, in advance for the time that we're going to spend together today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yes, especially for a short person. Safety of abiding in the presence of God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only your eyes shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In his hands they shall bear you up, at least you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and serpent shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I shall deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him with honor and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. She lived by the word of God, and God granted her a long life. 94 years, almost 95. She is now in our heavenly home.
When I became a pastor here at Christ Community Church about 27 years ago, I was blessed with the opportunity to work with, I call them our more seasoned folk here at the church, senior citizens, our senior adult ministry. And through these past decades, as we have studied together God's Word, I've learned so much from them. I can't tell you how many times I've heard one of them come up to me and say, you know, Pastor Tim, I'm ready to go home and be with Jesus. Whenever he calls me, they say, I'll be ready. And when I first heard that, you know, many years ago as a young pastor, I thought I understood what they meant. I thought that perhaps they were just growing a little weary, a little tired of many of life's burdens, and that they were just struggling with carrying those burdens on their own. But I've come to realize now that I'm a little older, a little, perhaps a little wiser, and of course, in those 27 years, I've lost a few loved ones and a few friends, close friends of my own. I believe now I have a much fuller understanding of what they were trying to say, what they were feeling, what they were experiencing when they said such a thing. I'm ready to go home whenever he calls me. You see, it wasn't that they had just grown tired of this world, tired of the way the world had changed around them. It's more like what we learn in the biblical account of Job. Like Job, they actually began to yearn to be in the presence of God, a desire to be with him. Things of the earth started to lose their import. You know, they were wonderful things, but okay, they were just things, and their focus turned heavenly or heavenward. With age and wisdom, I think they just began to see more clearly the hope of being with God forever, and that excited them, and they were saying, I'm ready. They clearly grasped the hope of the work that Jesus Christ had done on the cross. In other words, the more time a believer spends with Jesus and in his word, I believe the greater his or her desire becomes to join him in heaven. You know, in Philippians 1:21, the Apostle Paul wrote very clearly, he said, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, Paul viewed his life and or his death as a win-win situation. In other words, he was perfectly content, he said, going on serving Jesus here on earth as long as that's what God wanted. But He was also perfectly content with dying, if that was God's desire, because then he would be with Jesus. Win-win, in his estimation. So if you've lost a believing loved one, a spouse, a family member, or a dear friend, then you understand that in a very real way, there's a small piece of you that's already in heaven. It's yet another reason for us to look forward to one day claiming that same hope for ourselves. Yes, we will see Jesus, and we're told we'll also see our loved ones. Isaiah 57, in verses 1 and 2, Isaiah the prophet wrote, "The righteous man perishes, and no one lays it to heart. Devout men are taken away while no one understands. For the righteous man is taken away from calamity. He enters peace. They rest in their beds, those who walk in their uprightness." What Isaiah is saying here is that there's no tragedy in being ushered from this life into the next life, when the next life is going to be spent in the presence of God. There's no tragedy in that. Additionally, Isaiah is saying that God is actually protecting the believer from any further suffering on earth by taking them to heaven. So with that knowledge, we can be more at peace with a believer's passing. We're granted peace with God through faith, as Paul also writes in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. He wrote, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." As believers in Christ Jesus, we are given access by faith into a relationship with God, and we are thus able to rejoice in that hope in the glory of God. And the hope that Paul speaks of here is, again, that promised inheritance, that eternal life in the presence of Jesus. Paul knew this hope in heaven was not in vain. It was a sure thing. And he goes on to say in that same chapter that we can even rejoice in our tribulations and sufferings here and now. How are we able to do this? Well, because we can rejoice even when our lives are going through difficult events. Those events, those hard times, they take on new purpose and new meaning when we know that God is in control. We need to know that because God is sovereign. He sovereignly controls all things. We need only keep our eyes on him and trust him for his guidance and for his provision. In other words, we don't need to worry. God will indeed guide us and provide us according to his perfect will. You may have read the words of Jesus in Matthew 6. He spoke to this idea of not worrying about our futures if we trust in God, because yeah, God already knows our needs. The passage is a wonderful passage. Let me read it for you. It starts at verse 25 of Matthew 6. Jesus is speaking to a multitude of people who have come to listen to him teach. His disciples are there as well. And he says to the crowd, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" he asked. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" comparing us to birds. Then in verse 27, he says, "Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. Yet I tell you, even King Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith." Now, why would Jesus tell us not to worry about our future? Again, it's because Jesus knows that God will provide all that we would ever need in this life, all that we will need in our life to come. And we're reminded of this in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, where, again, Jesus speaking to his disciples, well, he had just given them some bad news. He told them he was going to die and he was going to be leaving them. And he wanted to comfort them. He said in verse 1 of chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going, he said. Thomas, one of the disciples, said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus said to him, very powerful words, words I really want you to hear today. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, in one very powerful sentence, Jesus says that he is the only way to eternal life in heaven. He says, believe in me and follow me. He's clearly saying that as believers, our future has already been planned for, and again, God has it under control, thankfully. Amen? We don't need to fear the passing of our loved ones who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to fear that. Nor do we need to fear our own death, because for those who have trusted in Christ for salvation, everything is planned down to the last detail, even as he said, where we will stay in heaven. And you see, Anna Quiner made this very important decision many years ago, putting her faith in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And again, friends, that's wonderful news. That is wonderful news. Because she believed and trusted in Jesus as Lord, we can celebrate today, because on the 4th of April, just a few weeks ago, Anna stepped from this mortal world into the very presence of Jesus. You know, and the fact that Anna was born into this world at just the right time to live when she did, to meet and marry Quint, and to be part of such a wonderful family was no accident. And again, neither was her passing. All the years of Anna's life, even until now, have been under the watchful care of her loving Savior. And our collective memories of her are a precious gift from God, and I hope you hang on to those. I pray those same memories that we share will spark love and support from one another as we share with one another and care for one another as time goes on. Friends, our sister Anna has claimed God's glorious promise of a new life, a life that's free from tears, a life that's free from pain and aging, and she's been given a new life of eternal joy in God's presence with a body that will never fail, never grow old, and a life that is full of purpose and significance. So I encourage each one of you here today, if you have not already done so, reflect on these same truths that Anna came to realize as a young woman, and those truths that she claimed as her own. Because life is short, death is sure. No one will escape death unless Christ comes before we die. And the time is now for you to profess your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are indeed blessed by your holy word and by the assurances of your promises that we read in your word. May your loving arms embrace our dear sister, Anna. And Father, I pray that you will be present in a very personal way with her family members. And give them peace. Please, Lord, give them comfort as they grieve. And as I just said, may the memories of Anna Quiner and the impact on our lives, she touched every person in this room, I don't doubt it. May her impact be represented here. Knit the hearts of both friends and family together, to Lord, today. And Lord, we pray all these things in the name and power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You're welcome. I'm trying to do this. Can you hear me? Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, and you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. For everyone here that knew my tía so closely, she embraced modern technology. So if you were lucky enough to get a daily text, a weekly text, or a monthly text, the last text I got from my tía Armida said, I keep you as my own child and love you forever and ever, and will continue until we are in God's presence. I take comfort in knowing that she is in the presence of God, and I am forever changed by the unconditional and unwavering love that she poured into me my entire life. So much so that it compels me to share that love with others. And so I ask that you keep her gentle spirit alive in the way that you hold and treat those dear to you, in the compassion that you show to strangers, and in sharing God's love with one another. I will miss her every day and love her every day until we meet again in God's presence.
You're probably thinking, is that guy ever just going to sit down and shut up? I need to tell you a little story. As you see on our program next, there's a song, The King is Coming. Some of you have heard that song. I had the privilege, as I mentioned in my earlier prayer, of getting to travel with both Quint and Anna. And we were in Israel together in 2020, the year of Jubilee, the same year the Pope was there. And we were traveling around the countryside and visiting all of the key religious sites and sites of faith and just the beauty of the land. And I was an associate pastor here on staff, and my lead pastor or senior pastor said, Tim, grab a boombox and a few CDs of some songs that I want you to sing when we go to these various sites throughout Israel. And so there I was with a boombox, and you think, well, what's a boombox, right? It's a big CD player, basically, before MP3s and all that music on your phone. And so I was just traipsing around with the group, and we came to a site called Megiddo. Megiddo is a Hebrew term for Armageddon. It's an actual place where the final battle is to take place, as Jesus, right before Christ returns to earth. And thus the song is called The King is Coming. I sang that song on that hill that afternoon, and when we got back on the bus to go to our next site, Anna came back to my seat, and she said, oh, Tim, when I die at my funeral, you must sing that song. And I said, well, okay, if I'm still here when you go, I will do that. So I made a promise to her 26 years ago that I would sing this song. Needless to say, or unfortunately, I've come down with pneumonia just about 5 weeks ago, and I'm still getting over it. That's not an apology, because you're never supposed to apologize before you sing. But I'm just alerting you to it. I'm going to work my way through this song together, and you just be gentle with me, okay? The King is coming. It has a long intro, so bear with me. The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors in the courtroom. No debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the king comes.
comes through the gate. The King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God, he is coming. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes he has mended, those from prison he set free. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow. Those who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. The King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng, and the fury of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regible robes now unfolding, heaven's grandstands all in place, heaven's choir now assembled starts to sing amazing grace. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see.
I would have loved that. Good afternoon. Buenas tardes. I'm going to try my best to get through this without too many tears. Cannot make any promises. To some of us, she was known as Ana. To some of us, she was known as Armida. And to a lot of us, she was Tia. But no matter what name she went by to you, what she meant to us all was the same. You know, she loved us unconditionally and with all of her heart. She loved her family, she loved her friends, and she loved God with every fiber of her being. The last couple of weeks, I have been reminded that grief comes from having experienced great joy. And Thea brought great joy to so many in her life in so many ways. She was a sister, she was a teacher, a cousin, a daughter, a wife, a friend, a tía, and a mother to so many. A Bible study teacher, just so much more throughout her life. And she had a very long, very fulfilling life here on earth. And she left us with lifelong memories and in so many ways helped shape each and every one of us into who we are today. She was a matriarch of the family. She instilled in us the importance of family with God at the center. And there are so many memories that we have as a family that we hold near and dear to our hearts. I want to share with you a couple of those today. I could be here all day if I shared them all. One of them that a lot of us share is our family reunions. Every year, she would put on this very elaborate family reunion, and she would invite everybody. And I mean, as kids, this was something we were just looking forward to every year. We were just ecstatic to come to this reunion. We would count the days, and just being there, seeing all of our uncles grilling, cooking, our aunts talking, all of us being in the pool. They had to pull us out at the end of the day, stick us in the car, screaming and crying because we did not want to leave. And I know that a lot of us still talk about those memories today. She made sure that that reunion was a place for us to gather as a family. We have so many amazing memories. She took pictures. She would post them every year. And that was just one of the many things that she did to bring our family together. The second memory I want to share is actually of this church. She really loved this church. She talked about it a lot. Anytime anybody could come with her to church, she would bring them. Anytime I was in town, I would come. And every year they have around Christmas the Festival of Carols. And she would be calling me months in advance. Wasn't even winter yet, to see what dates we had available so that we could come with her and experience a Festival of Carols. And those are just two of the many, many memories that I share with everybody here. And I'm sure everybody has many, many more. And I can talk and stand here and talk for hours, but I wanna end with a little bit of a personal note of what Thea meant to me. She never had her own children. Since the day I was born, she treated me as one of her own. I received daily texts, and one of the last texts I received from her was that she loved me as her own child. She wrote me letters my entire life. She called me Collect back in the day. She visited. She had me stay summers at her house with my cousins, with Danny and Frankie. And when I lived here as a young adult with no car, she would pick me up. She would pick me up from school or from work and take me to school. And at the time, I went to night school, so she would. The buses didn't run. And every time I would get in the car, she had a thermos of soup and a ham sandwich ready for me because she wanted to make sure I ate. I would ride my bike to her house for lunch. I mean, I could go on and on, but I don't want to keep you here too long. But that is just to say her house was a safe space for me my entire life. I never felt that I had to do anything or be anything for her. She just loved me for existing. And I felt that every time I was in her presence, I felt that. So as an adult, she would text me every day and said, "Do not forget the Lord and remember how much I love you." She didn't just tell me about God. She showed me through her unwavering faith, her unconditional love and kindness, and her fierce loyalty to her family. During one of our conversations a few months ago, she was understanding that she was in hospice, and you know, she looked at me and she said, you know, I had a really good life. I was surrounded by family and friends. I married a good man. I had good jobs. She's like, I traveled the world. So she was happy. Everybody in this room was part of her happiness. She lived to 94 years old, almost 95. Her birthday's coming up. And she lived a full life surrounded by people she loved. And I will be eternally grateful for the lessons she instilled in me throughout my life. So thank you, Tia. Thank you for bringing us all together. And te quiero mucho.
Try to keep it together. Even though she almost made it to 95, feels like there still wasn't enough time. There's guilt there for not having seen her more often, especially towards the end. Questions that I realized that I didn't ask, like what was it like being raised by Nina? I don't know why that dawned on me now, but that must have been a pretty incredible journey. If anybody knows, if she's told anyone, please let me know what she said about that. Pain and grief eventually fade, and the memories stay in there. There are a lot of memories. I think what everybody probably remembers is how considerate she was, and how unconditional her love was. Her voice, her words were some of the most affirming, and she meant every word. She was very sincere. She just had so much love. And when you were really little, she'd pinch your cheek or both of them. And then as you got older, she'd just put her hand on your cheek. Yeah, I don't know about you all, but she would say, "Ay, mijito, ¿por qué estás tan guapo?" You're like, what happened? But she thought so, and that's what mattered. Her famous picture wall in the hallway, and then 4th of July. She always had pictures from the previous 4th of July, and I would always look forward to seeing those pictures. There are many, many pictures. That's one thing that we have to be thankful for, and I'm sure that they'll be popping up as time goes on. There'll be more pictures popping up. She always took pictures. I'm sure we all have a picture with her. Her house was a home. It was a home for all of us, and she made sure that you felt that way. Estás en tu casa. Acuérdate que estás en tu casa. And there was no doubt. She was a lover of life. Plants, animals, dogs, we had that in common. I always talk about dogs, and she definitely had her plans. She shared that with her sisters, like Noelle said. Feels like we're entering a new era without those matriarchs that we came to be very familiar with. They divvied up the holidays. Tia Armida, obviously, 4th of July. Tia Berta, Christmas Eve, and Grandma, New Year's Eve and Christmas. I love her very much, and I'm grateful to everyone that is here, and thank you.
Well, the Armida passed away here, but we find comfort in knowing that she's still alive and she's reunited with Christ. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died, rose again, that the Father rose, revived him on the third day, then you will be saved. And Tia Armida believed in that. And because of that, I believe, and I'm sure many of you others believe, that Tia Armida is still alive through Christ. So it's as if she's on a trip where we don't have cell service, we can't communicate with her, but we'll see her again. And that's a promise that we can have faith that is true. And so she was 94 here on earth, and she was the last of the generation of our family, from that generation. And so with her passing, it doesn't just feel as though we lost someone we love. It feels as if a whole chapter has closed now. And that does bring a lot of pain. My tia was special, warm, kind, funny, very sharp, as many of you can, you know, think back to. It was very tech savvy, especially knowing of her age. You wouldn't realize, wow, she's in her 90s. You know, texting, looking on Facebook. I'm sure everybody, if you posted something, she would text you every single day. But she also probably would like all of your things and probably comment. And so she had a very quiet strength about her. And it was a kind that made you feel very comfortable. Just being around her, very easy to talk with, got along with everybody. Very hard to find anything negative or anybody that would say anything negative about her because she had so much kindness and love, you know, in her heart. And when she paid attention to you, it felt, you could feel it, that she loved you and you knew it. Her faith meant quite a bit to her, and it wasn't just something she said. She studied the Bible, she believed it, she taught it, and because of that, in my own life, she helped me kind of pull away from just going through motions and kind of pointed me to what Scripture teaches and helped me kind of have a deeper understanding with that. And so for that, I'm very appreciative. And that's one of the many things that I can think about that helped, that she kind of built a bond with me on, that I kind of remember and recall in attending services here, coming back and forth when we were in Utah. Of course, the Christmas show, that was another big thing that she enjoyed. And she also loved simple things like dogs, which you guys can remember sharing coyotas. She'd get the coyotas and would have those and be, you know, those were her favorite. These are the good ones. These are from Hermosillo, you know. And being with family, you know, one of my favorite memories is from a Christmas. You know, I was playing jokes and I put on repeat Ave Maria. And I thought it was the funniest thing. I was maybe 11, 12, and it was on repeat. And Tio Quent didn't realize it, but Tia Armida, she did. She definitely knew what I was doing, but she just smiled and let me laugh. And that was her, very patient, very observant, and full of quiet love. And I know that we're all going to miss her, her voice, her wisdom, her presence, and just having her here with us. But because she belonged in Christ, we don't grieve without hope. We trust her to the Lord that she loved, the Lord that she studied, and the Lord that she followed faithfully. And even though it hurts, there's peace in knowing this. The woman who loved God's word now sees her Savior face to face. And I'm going to try this, so forgive me if I make mistakes. Para mi familia que habla español, perdón, ustedes saben que mi español no es muy bueno, pero estoy tratando de dar este mensaje con todo mi corazón. Hoy honramos a mi tía. La vamos a extrañar mucho su voz, su amor y su presencia en nuestra familia. Ella amaba a Dios, estudiaba su palabra y vivo con fe. Y aunque nos duele su partida, no perdemos la esperanza. Sabemos que ahora está con el Señor que amó y que está en paz. La amamos mucho y siempre viviría en nuestros corazones. Thank you.
My strength and my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in. Love of Christ, I stand. Oh, 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 there in the ground, His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light, and take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall, and take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
disappears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone. At the river I'll stand, guide my feet, hold my hand and take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand, for I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light and take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me
You're all together lovely. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." I also want to add something. She was a nun at one time, and she would always, they called her the flying nun because she was everywhere. She would take the kids to Disneyland. She would take the students from where she taught to Disneyland, but she always included us. She included my mom, her older sister, and all of us kids, and we'd go to Disneyland with her. But my son said he forgot to add that. They called her the flying nun. And she was born Armida Quine, Armida Flores. And her nun name was Anadelia. And I was named after her nun name, Anadelia, which I'm happy they didn't name me Armida. I am the flying. No, I might be flying right now.
Well, again, dear friends and family especially, I want to thank you for being here today, and thank you for just making this day so special. I don't know if you knew this, but Anna planned all of this, top to bottom. She had it all planned out in advance for her family, choosing of the songs and everything. And we're going to close with the song she wanted us to sing together, and that is "How Great Thou Art." In your folders, your brochures that you were handed when you came in this morning, you'll find the lyrics to "How Great Thou Art." Why don't you stand and sing with me as we prepare to leave today? Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the words thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Sing it out. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Second, third, and when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on that cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great
sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And the final stanza, when Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for singing and closing this celebration so wonderfully well. Before you leave, I want you to make sure you know the family has put together a reception for you in Anna's honor. And it's easy. It's a little walk, but it's easy to get to. If you parked in that east parking lot, you're going to head towards your cars, but before you step off the curb, turn right and go into our Family Life Center. It's a large building. You'll see the copper domed roof that leads into that building. Go right in there to your left, and lunches, or what do we call this, Linner? Linner is served, so I invite you to head on over there in just a moment. Why don't we allow most of the closest family to leave first, and they can lead you in that way. But let me close with this benediction from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the love of God, and the God of love and peace will be with you all. I pray God's richest blessings upon you as you go today. Thank you so much for being here today. You're very welcome.